Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Christine, Pauline, Charlene. It's very close.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, boy.
Just three simple ingredients.
Excuse me. It's refreshing, too. We rolling?
Yeah, we're good.
All right, y'all. I'd like to welcome everybody back to the episode of The Quiet Storm, a.k.a. The Stair Brothers Podcast. It's your host with the most, Chris Minor, a.k.a. Dino Spumoni, Extra Cheese and Pepperoni. A.K.A. Talk to Me Nice, a.k.a. Young Wikipedia, a.k.a. Young Chris Kringle, the gift that keeps on giving, a.k.a. Vic Damone Jr. And today, my co-host is here with us. Go ahead and tell him some white chocolate.
Oh, wow.
White Thunder.
White Thunder?
Very white. Very white.
There you go. I was like... So you missed the
one that was right there in my face, yeah.
Oh, but yeah, it's your boy. It's Cardigan Charlie over here.
Cardigan and, Charlie with the tiger stripes.
Yeah, man, you already know I'm out here. You know, wake up at sunrise, see my sunrise.
Sir.
Member of the dad gang over
dad
here.
Dad gang.
Need to see if they...
Huh? Oh, yeah, sponsor? We can use a sponsor, man. We not ready to...
We're working on some stuff.
You said that last episode.
Yeah, but we don't have nothing to show yet.
Yeah, we ain't got nothing to show yet.
Yeah, once we got something to show, I'll show you.
All right.
But, it's coming.
For real.
It's coming.
That's what I told her. I told her when I got something ready to show you,
I'm going to show you. All right.
Feel me?
It's episode
233. Amanda is here one day, going the next.
Work duties, you know.
Work duties, yeah. She's probably spitting in somebody's mouth as we speak.
Chris, real quick. Oh, yeah. Sorry, it's episode 237.
237. Correction.
233. On your podcast app, does it do that?
The black thing. I meant the gray on the picture.
Because the only one that does it on is Apple.
Let me check Spotify.
No, I checked Spotify. It's not on there. It's only on Apple for some reason.
They hate.
But in the car. It shows up the full thing. And when I share it shows full, but only in my app.
It smells like somebody just got their hair done in here.
Oh, I put on that tropical hand sanitizer right there.
Okay. You know, I guess.
That's what it smells like.
It smells like a curling iron or something.
Oh, really?
To me. But, mine is fine.
Yeah, I don't know. It's bizarre.
I don't know either.
But
we got a 5.0 rating on here.
On Spotify?
Yeah.
Yeah, that just means no one said anything bad yet.
Let me rate.
If you're not a 4.5, then you're not. That's the real rating. That means someone gave you 1 star somewhere. You fucking suck.
We probably do to some. I do appreciate us doing the Palestine segment last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just to bring more awareness to it. Again, shout out to Blue, Rodney, that is, because his brother's Ricky. But, yeah, I thought that was cool, bro. I'm I'm not the right person to talk about these things, but they are things that are that is being put in our face. And I feel like it's our responsibility to at least let our audience know that we are aware, and we care, just to try to speak on it. Like, And I'm also glad we didn't try to give like our 2 cents necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we all agreed like it's free Palestine. obviously we all agree that Palestine needs to be free, but we didn't get like OD political or anything. Like I do appreciate that about us.
Yeah, I mean, and also you went about it the right way. You asked the question first before speaking on it without knowledge, right?
Yeah.
Can someone explain this to me?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I feel like, you know, I could have asked you. I feel like you would have similar. I don't know if you wouldn't have went into that much depth, but you would have.
Yeah, he went.
Yeah, you would have at least been like, yo, these people have been fucked up for eons.
Yeah, biblical times.
Yeah, biblical times. We need to be an advocate for their freedom. But anyways, shit, how was your week? Not anyways like that, to segue there.
Yeah, I mean, son went back to daycare. My wife went back to work.
Okay, so everybody's in good health.
Yep. He had a little adjustment period back at daycare because, you know, he's been at home all day, all week, last week.
So someone called you the cardigan Caucasian.
That works, too.
Yeah, they're both fine.
C's.
Yeah.
As long
double
as it's
alliteration.
Yeah.
All right, but.
So he took he had a little adjustment because he was. When his home all last week, he was in his own bed. He was taking like 3 or 4 hour naps. So now he's back at daycare. Yes. So today was the first day he took like a full nap.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. The other days he did 0, 0, 27. And then today he did an hour and a half. So,
okay.
Which is good for daycare because there's other kids there and stuff. Right. So that means he was good, but yeah, he was definitely out of it those first 3 days, like when he got home. But he's teething pretty bad right now. He has 2 bottom teeth and the top 2 coming in in the back. So a little tender. He was freaking out a little bit before he went to bed.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's good. I mean, still, he's saying more words almost every day now.
That's good. I haven't. Well, outside of y'all coming to my job, I haven't spent time.
You could be
with
like,
him.
You could ask him, show me the flower. He'll point at the flower.
Okay, he's smart.
He says thank you, help. That he just learned that one.
Okay, that's good.
So he'll bring it to you and be like, help.
Yeah.
he definitely tells you no. I can tell you that.
Oh yeah.
I'd be like, you want to go to the bath? No. He'll go no, and then he'll go no. Like that. If you're not supposed to do something, no.
I had tweeted the other day because I had tied my sweatshirt on my waist, and I thought about it. Like, I saw that on the playground. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As a kid. And then I thought to myself, a kid had to do this first, like in history, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, how legendary is that kid? Because
we don't talk about him.
Him or her. It's,
you know, the man, myth, the legend.
We need to do a doc. We need to trace this back as far as we can go and figure out who was the first person to tie their sweater, cardigan, hoodie, jacket on their waist on the playground.
Yeah.
And then we need to give that person.
Put him in the annals of history, man.
Like, yeah.
Give him his own little.
Wait, put him in the what?
The annals of history.
The annals of history?
The annals of history.
What? Years, I've never heard of that before.
Really?
What is that? Is that like the...
think of like a Hall of Fame.
Okay. Is that the same thing as Jadakiss saying that he needs to be in a cocaine almanac?
Basically, yeah.
All right. You could have just said almanac, not anal.
I said...
I really have a head. It's right here, bro. Yeah, it's very tender.
Yeah, hit with a fucking...
a fucking washer door, bro. Full swing. Like, I looked at it like offended almost. Like, what did I do?
You had to box up with it.
Bro.
Hit with a fucking door.
Excuse me. But, yeah. I'm glad the fam's doing good. In good health again. I don't really remember my week. I've been working diligently. I started to get settled into the role of the front end manager.
Yeah.
Not too much of an adjustment because I was already doing it before I had the title, but now it's like it's gotten like my full attention, and everything else got put on the back end. That's pretty much all that's been going on. This work, preparing for the trip, went back to the land last week.
Yep.
I don't think I got a chance to speak about that, but yeah, pretty normal. Cousin Cookie, who we had on the podcast probably 75 episodes ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago, yeah.
She'll be in town for her birthday weekend. I'll get to talk about that on Monday. But as far as Chris, it's work home. So I am looking forward to our trip to North Carolina. As soon as I step out the plane, I plan on taking an Instagram video, letting these hoes know where I'm at.
Yeah. Got to put the location tag.
Exactamundo. Yeah. Playing North Carolina by Pete, or Raise Up by Pete Pablo. As soon as I step off the plane, it's going to be a tradition.
North Carolina.
For sure. For sure.
They play at the game, too. Don't worry.
Oh, well, yeah. I actually, I'm so excited to go on the trip. I pulled up, like, their weather. So it's like one of my
tabs. I mean, I've definitely been keeping an eye on it because, like I said, I didn't want to buy those game tickets until I saw the weather was A1.
Yeah, because
we're not standing no rain.
Oh no, you can't stand the rain. Yeah. I lied. Saturday, I went to the Newlyweds' house.
Yeah.
They wanted to have me and J-Mo over for, you know, games, drink. Dinner. She cooked dinner. Dinner was bomb. But of course, the wedding came up. So they asked me, like, Chris, what's your honest opinion about the wedding? And
did you give me your honest opinion?
Yeah, but I didn't say it the way I would have said it, if that makes sense. Like, I would have said it like.
Did you put, so you gave him like a 90%?
Oh, I told him everything I felt was wrong. Mm-hmm. But I didn't give them that, like, raw. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
That,
like,
shit sucked.
Yeah, like, yeah. Why the fuck was there nobody, you know?
Why the fuck were you late?
Right. I still didn't. I brought up, like, well, you know, you were late and this and that. I still didn't say, yo, where the fuck were you? I don't know if it's like, I don't want to know the answer.
No, I would have. That's the first thing I would ask. Like, first off, where the fuck were you?
Right. So I told them, like, yo. Honestly, we just need a coordinator. I feel like a coordinator, everything would have ran smoothly. And they were like, we agree. They had things in place, but shit fell through. And it wasn't on their end. The only thing that was on their end was the groom showing up late. Everything else, the DJs were supposed to have, the MC thing set up, you know, all this other stuff. Yeah, but the groom being late does put a monkey wrench in the.
That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Baby girl was in the car.
But I guess they don't listen to the pod, so I will. They will have another ceremony. And
a redo?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's a redo per se, because they knew they were going to have another ceremony.
Okay.
Excuse me. When I had the pool party, they told. Somebody there that they were going to have
a second one.
So I didn't know that though. But other than that, we played. There was a game that we should play the next time we have, maybe at Shelby's birthday before we go to the actual thing.
Okay.
They sent it to me in the text. We started playing it. And it was a good game. I think it's a way to get to know your friends better. It's called. At least,
is it a card game?
Yes. Okay. It's called Let's Get Deep, Friends Edition. So there's icebreakers, deep, then deeper.
Deeper?
Yeah, deeper. After the first two or three, it starts getting sexual, of course. But some of them are really cool, like what's the coolest building you've ever been in and why? And if you could work any job, what would you do? Who has the coolest job amongst the friend group? One of the questions, the sexual question, we skipped all the sexual, good, except for one, because I had to let them know, like, this happened. And it was the girl threw up in the bed story.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was like the craziest thing that happened.
Something like that. Yeah, that was the craziest thing that happened in the bedroom type situation.
Okay.
I was still PG about it.
I still don't know if I don't really like those questions.
Yeah. Especially in a group setting.
Well, because, like, that's not something I need to know.
Right.
Like, to get someone to know better, I don't need to know how.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
I know it's, like, for fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it's funny. But, like, I feel like sometimes it's just, like there's more in there than there should be is what generally what happens.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You're like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like, these are the harder questions.
Yeah.
How do you like to fuck?
Like, yeah, like, nah, I'm not.
What
do you think that is, though? Like, as far as us not, is that, is it like we're.
Look,
I don't know how to explain what I'm trying to say, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't like talking about that shit, like, for real. Like, not even in joking. Amanda does it flawlessly, so does that mean she's more comfortable with sex? Is that how you would?
I mean, maybe, but, like, I'm not uncomfortable talking about sex.
Right.
I mean, we had the whole episode where the first time you were very uncomfortable.
I don't talk about bedroom shenanigans.
Yeah, but, like, I don't, like, nothing, like turns me off from hearing it. But as far as, like, if, like, I'm asked the question,
mm-hmm.
I don't, like, I feel like for me, like, me, especially me and my wife, like, I feel like that stuff's kind of private.
Yeah.
So, like, I just, like, I've always been the don't kiss and tell type of
right,
person.
Right.
So,
right,
like,
right.
I
think I have too, for the most part. I mean, I'll tell, like, you, like, yeah, I did that or whatever. But as far as, and I might have said a few things on the podcast in my past, trying to be entertaining. I just had to tell somebody the other day because it's something I brought up about my exploits. And I was like, hey, it's all entertainment, man. I got to keep them. I got to keep them coming back.
But mainly it's just, I'm talking about in those kind of games. It's just kind of like if we're talking about get to know your friends, like, you know, like that, that won't really
help.
Like you telling me you like your dick suck is not going to make me
right.
increase, you right. know, like, or a girl being like, if we're talking to, like, our friend's wife and she's like, yeah, I like your doggy style, like, that's not going to increase our friendship.
Or some, if whoever Ridge's woman is, like, Ridge's ass is really hairy. It's like, yo, I already knew that. Like,
yeah, but it's just, but it's just like, that doesn't increase anything for me. Mm-hmm. Now, if it was like a unique question or so, I didn't know that. That's something I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it was like, what's your favorite holiday?
Yeah, stuff like that's, like, always fun.
What's the most attractive accent to you?
Oh.
You know what I said? No, probably not.
No, I don't know what
you said. I said Atlanta, number one, New York, hands down.
Yeah.
If I met a purebred New York woman, and she asked me if I'm dumb, like, are you dumb? I might propose, like, right there. That's all I want. We got to go back to New York, bro. I wasn't ready at first. I wasn't mature. I'm ready now. And I want to go where they at. I follow a couple of chicks on Twitter from New York right now. I want to run, not on no creep shit. I want to run into them.
Yeah, that's Kwame, the spots, man.
I feel like Kwame I don't want to be safe. I want to be like a hair away from danger at all times.
I don't know about that, bro.
I was like, we still make it home, but we also couldn't have made it home.
I don't want that.
I want that.
I have a family.
I want to wear my Tims in New York. I want to be like, yo, what the fuck, man? We out the fucking way, you know, fucking mooly.
They gonna know who the you fraudulent. And you go, you might get stomped out.
Yeah, I might. I'm ready, man. What's my man's name? Not Tribe Called Quest. Naughty by Nature, nigga. I'm ready. I'll just be walking down the streets of New York with a boombox playing.
Yeah.
So we're going to write, then we're going to back, then we're going to fuck.
No, you got to play the R&B Rakim joint you love, that knocking them out.
Yo, that nigga Rakim was floating.
No, I was saying you got to play that on the movie.
Making them up. That nigga was floating. Hey, while we're on the topic of rap, I feel like we haven't had, like, one of those intellectual music conversations in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Partly due to because we haven't had that many albums come out. I know Tizo was a big deal.
I mean, we had a good one with Midas and Miles.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like how we do. Like, I feel like we didn't hover over that Drake in particular long enough. Pause.
Oh, well, we were getting to a lot of stuff.
We were hitting a lot.
Because we took time off.
Right.
Amanda's back, so we.
I get why, but I'm just saying. I feel like Drake, because obviously, first-person shooter is number one on Billboard, and the song with Ye is number two. He needed
crazy. That was J. Cole's first number one.
That is crazy. Somebody had posted the Who Dat video on Twitter recently, and I watched it again. I was like, fuck, this nigga came a long way.
Yes.
You could tell that video was probably shot for like $800. Like, he came a long fucking way. But,
truly, like for real.
Like, yeah, like, he evolved as a person. Most people, we just see, like, oh, there we grow. You see a little evolution, but, like, J. Cole went, like, he completely changed. Like, I don't think this nigga wear Jordans anymore. Like, he's not the same person.
Yeah, I think
that he started out.
And I think he's talked about kind of like why that is. I mean, partially, you know, I mean, especially the era he came up in. How he had to get on. And, like, I mean, you get signed by Jay-Z, right?
Yeah, so come like, on. That's...
Expectations are high.
Easy.
And, you know, I don't, and people, a lot of people shit on his first album. I don't think his first album is that bad. It definitely sounds like it's a product of the machine, though.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
a lot of like oversight into that album,
right.
You know, and then
then
Born Center was kind of what he wanted to make,
right?
Which is why the second album is way better than the first. Mm-hmm. And that's when I let Nas down because I made work
for him.
But like, you know, he saw the industry. Like, once he got in it, and like, it's like, okay, this shit is way...
Yeah, different.
Crazier than I thought.
I remember, like, Cole had, at that time, first album time, on the Can't Get Enough, like, the I'm from the Ville, we'll be banging for the money. I was like, yo, I didn't say he was the best, but that one bar in particular made me like, okay, he's good. It's crazy what one bar. A nigga's fit one bar and it's like, oh shit, he's really good.
Hey, one verse could fuck up.
But as you know, writing raps, like that one bar is like it's life changing. Like when you say you might not ever hit that bar, it might take you 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 albums to hit another line that does that.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing about rap sometimes.
Bro, fuck.
Because it might not even be like a... Because it might not even be done like super profound.
Right.
But it's the way they like layered it or like just the way that like, oh shit, that's just a crazy ass thing to
say. Right.
Because we've seen that in multiple ways.
Right.
I mean...
Like Thug saying he just fucked a cup of water.
Yeah.
Like... It's like, okay, I get it. Almost right there. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was right there in front of me. But it's still like, that's stupid to say. But he said it on one of like the best beats I've heard in the last.
But also, it's like, you would, like, he said it because no one else.
Yeah.
It's just like, one of your favorite 2 Chainz lines.
What's that?
I'm gonna spray Febreze on the box. Remember that shit?
Oh yeah. No, the two Chainz got the I had to thank the Lord I'm in rare form. So it's fucking sick. But it was just like, oh, this nigga's really, he's swagging this hoe. And it just hit perfect. Like,
so that's the thing about rap. That's why sometimes you'll be like, people will be like, nah, he killed this shit. And like, it might not be like a super technical, but like everything he's saying is like hard.
Yeah.
Hard doesn't necessarily mean like he's flipping all his words. He literally just saying some hard. I mean, we know we talk about 50 Cent Mini Man, but like, but that verse
that's real. Yeah,
that's like hard though.
Yeah, 50 got a couple of those on that first album though.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah,
Banks. I'm fresh off the jet and I breeze to the beaches. Blue Yankee fitted G.
Yeah,
Chef's kiss.
Just the way he floated.
Yeah.
So It's different.
So what would you say helps it more? The flow, like how you're saying
flow
it?
Flow is always going to be probably the top way to make it come across.
Exactly.
How
you...
Because the only example I can give
right
where that is not the case is MF Doom.
Right. Oh, yeah. His words cut, though. Like his...
Yeah,
like,
but his whole thing was supposed to be...
Unorthodox. Yeah.
And he was supposed to be anti-rap.
Yeah.
And then, like, everything he was doing, like, you know, the way he was chopping samples and then, like, the how he was rapping.
Right.
And it was like... Like, and he was kind of dry, but like,
but he had that nasally thing too.
Yeah. But like, he says hard shit.
The keep one eye open, like, captain is so fucking hard. Yeah. But like, who would say that shit?
Rappers all in our ear, like, we're deaf. Like, but he be rapping, but like, it's like if you just turn it on for somebody,
what the fuck is this?
Right.
Yeah.
But normally, in a normal rap structure, which is why. That J. Cole verse from Yachty was mm-hmm. so, everybody was talking about it.
He stayed in pocket.
Yeah, and then the flow of it, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The flow, because that flow was nasty. The reason why Future is very good is his, like, the way he finds, because he finds pockets that you don't know are there.
Yeah.
And it's like, because that's why he doesn't have to say anything.
That's too extravagant, off,
because
he's a melodic.
He gonna float on that hoe with his style of voice.
Besides, I remember Ludacris when Ludacris did his verses the second time, I think, right? Because him and Nelly tried and then it fucked up. They did it again.
Glitching.
Or it might have been the same thing. He played O. And he said before he started that record.
I cannot tell. We could talk about this. Like, what did he say?
He said before or after maybe he played that record.
Yeah.
That Jay-Z hit him and was like, I've never heard someone stay in pocket for that long on a verse.
And I believe him.
Until.
Yeah.
J. Cole. Just now.
But it's stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Where, like, it's, like, you wouldn't think. Sierra O.
Yeah.
Featuring Ludacris.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he smoked that shit.
Yeah.
And Ludacris was really good at that. Because Ludacris never really... He wasn't giving you, like, Jay-Z type bars.
Right.
You can also, most of the time you know what he's about to say.
Yeah.
Because that's how he raps.
He's right.
Like, boom, here's the line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like.
Punchline almost.
But his flow was always nice as fuck.
Always, yeah.
Because, like, that's why Rollout is so tight.
Yeah.
Because the way
My homie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My biz, that's my business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he would do something. But oh, is just like, he took it to another level.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I don't know what it was. What?
That beat at for that time was that's an incredible ass beat.
Doom, doom. Doom.
Yeah, like shout out to, did Jazzy make that?
I know we looked it up one time. It's not somebody else.
I wish.
Yeah, we looked it up.
I know we did, but we looked it up in the.
It wasn't Jazzy Faye. I forgot the dude's name.
I think you're right. It was probably like.
It was something good I never heard of before. I know that, but that motherfucker said, "Luda."
So this how I get wild old school coming down
in different color. Weave, picture perfect.
You might want to take a flick. Yeah.
Call
yeah,
them
yeah,
Jazzy,
yeah.
Tell them
and to
bye.
Be honest, was produced by Harrison Davis, who worked as Dre and Vital.
Okay.
Yep. Same. On March 1st, 2005. Let me see what else they got. Dre and Vital is a songwriting and production duo who are best known as the main producers for Jill Scott.
Okay.
And Glenn Lewis, alumni of DJ Jazzy Jeff, a touch of jazz production team. Dre and Vida were also instrumental in the production of Music Soul Child's first album. Oh, they got some hits.
Yeah.
Wow. So that was so different for them.
So their R&B is like their bag.
Yeah, their bag. Yeah. 2000 till present. Let me see. Production discography. They did 3LW, Point of No Return, Alicia Keys, So Simple. Anthony Hamilton, Diamond in the Rough. Get a little more. I'm just trying to see if there was
anything that's standing out to you.
Yeah, I mean all the artists are.
Yeah.
Ludacris, he did. They did War with God.
Oh, Ludacris. That's a good beat.
They did Butterflies for Mike. ain't got to make another B day in life.
That shit right there.
But that was because of Flowetry though, because old girl wrote that.
That shit still Butterflies is crazy though.
Okay, somebody said why Dalton looked like Will Ferrell and Kicking and Screaming with Swag, LOL, Jacket Fire though.
Yeah, because their jerseys did have this. Oh yeah. But it was just blue.
They did Destiny's Child T-shirt. Let me see. Oh, they did a record for The Game, Hustler's Dream. Don't recall. Jamie Foxx, Go to Waste. Okay. Oh, they did Justin Bieber, All That Matters, All Bad, Change Me, We Are. They did Better for Kirk Franklin.
They got some records.
Yeah, they got. They were. They did Yo, Excuse Me, Miss for Chris Brown, and they did Poppin'. Wow.
Oh, wow, that is.
Hey, these niggas need they flex. Sierra O.
Yeah, they got some joints.
Yeah, they got some shit. They did Caught Up for Usher, Superstar, Follow
They
Me.
Did Caught Up and Superstar?
These niggas is paid.
What else they do?
Follow Me, Here I Stand, Love You Gently, and Hush. They did Young Buck, I'm a Soldier, Walk With Me. I like Walk With Me. Ooh, on the Biggie Duets album, they did 1970 something. I really like that beat. These niggas is good, bro.
They gotta be.
Kelly Clarkson, The Day We Fell Apart. They Robin Thicke, Two Lovebirds.
Oh yeah, they stay working.
Oh yeah, Miguel to the Moon Hero. I'm sorry. This is
Yeah,
you Rich Girl, Swagger Right, Teyana Taylor, Sorry.
Sorry.
What record is Sorry? Kenny Lathamore, Lately. And the Osley Brothers, Said Enough. Yeah, these niggas is paid, bruh. Shout out to Dre and Vital, man.
But they were paid once they did that fucking Butterflies record.
Yeah. But, yeah, we kind of got off on a tangent there. So the Drake discourse, I already know how you feel, but we might as well just talk about
it.
The Drake. So Drake got number one with J. Cole, first-person shooter. So on that record, when he started flipping all the names, and that menacing-ass voice, I love it so much.
Oh, the
Christine, Pauline, Charlene. He said, yo, they asked me if this will ever be repeated. I'm one away from Michael Jackson, nigga, beat it.
Yeah.
So on the record, he says, you know, he's one away, ends up being the one that got him, like, the, I don't even know what the title was. What was it? Most number ones on Billboard?
Yeah.
Or whatever. I'm sure Tuesday will correct me. So I seen discourse saying, yo, Drake can't hold a fucking candle to Mike because Mike sold physical copies.
Yes.
Which I know you agree with. But and then I saw that we need to have different metrics for what was physical and what is digital. Mm-hmm. We should have that. Damn, I lost my train of thought.
There are different metrics now.
But by using those different metrics, Drake and Complex apparently deemed him to now have surpassed Mike because of this number one. When in all actuality, only probably three of Drake's albums were available on CD.
Right.
Before merch.
Now, okay. Let's just get this part out of the way first.
Right.
There will never be another Michael Jackson.
Of course.
I don't like let's just get it out of the way.
Yeah. Those days are over.
We will never see anything like that.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Thank you. Though the metrics are different, we still have to hold Drake to an extremely high standard because what he's done has never been done.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so that's all I want to say. Thank you.
This is my point. So, like, there will never be another Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. That era of music is done, right? So, this man, you know, was selling 40 million records worldwide.
Right.
So, like, physical sales.
Yeah.
Worldwide phenom.
Thriller moved up because of the Drake shit this week.
But I'm saying, like, so this kind of thing, like, that nothing can touch that ever again. Mm-hmm. That's gone.
Yeah.
So we have megastars.
Yeah.
Still alive, but I'm saying as far as that level.
Yeah, never.
Where making bitches faint just standing there.
Who would have been the closest today to do that?
Today? Women, Beyonce. Really. Taylor Swift and Beyonce?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Maybe.
Never mind, I ain't gonna say it.
Who?
The Weeknd.
He's not that big.
Possibly.
No, he could not stand on stage and people pass out.
If they're on drugs, they would.
No. No.
Yeah.
But let's just get the way. So, like, and also, like, the amount of music, you know, he made.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the time period between them, right?
Right.
He didn't, like, you know, Prince didn't stop.
Right.
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 His albums
kept flowing.
He probably had two. He sometimes have three in a year, right?
Right.
He I think he had, like, 66 albums total or some shit like that.
Yeah, he's a different guy.
Right. And if you look at Mike's solo discography, like, just Michael Jackson, not the Jackson 5,
mm-hmm.
like, it's really not that long of a list, right?
Right.
And then these albums, like Off the Wall, Off the Wall and Thriller, right? Both think it had like 9 songs on them. Mm-hmm. Drake's albums have 22 records, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just think about that, right? So let's just get that out the way.
Right.
He's not bigger than Mike.
No.
However, what I will say, as far as the new metrics go, mm-hmm. as far as the new, like, golden standard of how to get these numbers, Drake is the golden standard.
He's the golden standard.
Because, like, they equate a certain amount of streams as one sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a certain number. I don't know the exact number. But so for him to do his numbers, basically, let's just say every 4 plays, I know it's probably higher than this.
Right.
Let's say every 4 plays is one sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means it's 4 times the amount of people or, like, numbers to reach these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means people are bumping this shit at exhausting levels.
Nah, hell yeah. Drake, Taylor, they're breaking the streaming shit every time. Yeah.
So, I mean, and then regardless of how they get there,
mm-hmm.
they still get there. So yeah. he's a number one hit, right? So right. It's still a number one hit. Regardless of physical, digital, whatever, he did it. So yeah, sure. He's passed Michael Jackson for number ones.
Right.
And Michael Jackson has passed away.
Right.
So they're the only way that will stop is if somehow an old record gets number one again, which probably won't happen.
Well, like I said, Thriller has retried.
Right, but to get to number one would be quite crazy.
It is also, I mean, I know Drake beating him could have been a reason why Thriller scoots back up, but it's also the season. Or Halloween Thrillers on the album.
Yeah, I mean,
the plays are going to go up.
I mean, but this is just what happens, man. Like,
yeah.
Records are there to be broken.
Yeah.
It happens in sports,
yeah.
in music, movies. The numbers will be there, and then somehow it will be surpassed.
Come get smashed. Titanic held the shit for 20 years or some shit.
Yeah, and then
Avengers and all that shit.
Yeah, then it just kept getting beat. But,
yeah.
And it's just, it happens in sports, bro. Steph Curry beat the 3-point record.
Yeah.
So every game he's beating his own record. So like it's just it is what it is.
Tez, I will tell you, Tez says your hat is clean. Cuz the video I took the video and I posted it that okay. right there. He said your hat is clean.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, tell him cuz you know we listen. Justin is the one who said that you look like Will Ferrell. With the cardigan.
Was Justin?
Our Justin. White Justin, I'm sorry. Okay. We do have 2 Justins.
Okay.
White Justin.
Well, I appreciate people liking my cardigan.
Yeah, everybody, look, I put you on. I'm told you I'm your OG, nigga.
You're not my OG.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, records made to be broken. I don't think that's something to be butthurt about. Like,
No.
I would understand, like, if people are like, oh, he's bigger than Michael Jackson. That is not the case.
No. The music has touched the masses.
Yeah, numbers. I mean, he is the golden standard for streaming numbers, right?
Yeah,
like,
period.
We have Beyonce's Taylor Swift hymn.
How much stake do you put into Birdman? Did you see any clips? I think it was like the week after Drake put out the album, or maybe the week of. Birdman went on Clubhouse. And
I didn't see none of this.
Okay, so he made a couple claims.
About Drake?
Yeah, and everything that's been going on with that.
Okay.
One thing is, okay, first of all, he told Joe to chill. He ain't got no beef with Joe, but chill on his boy, Drake. You don't want those problems. He honestly, respectfully told Gilly, like, yo, I seen you in the heat of the moment, squandered? Is that the word?
Squandered is a word, yeah.
And that means kind of like shot away from it, right? Kind of? Ish?
What, squandered?
Yeah, like squirmed away.
If you squandered an opportunity, it means that you fucked it up.
Okay, well, yeah. He fucked up the opportunity to get active, I guess.
Okay.
So he was like, just relax. I never made any money. Gilly's not important, but he talked about Gilly.
Okay.
And then he said, this was like, this didn't get talked about at all.
But this was stuck out to you?
Yes.
Okay.
It should.
Okay.
To everybody.
Okay.
He said that Bad Bunny been signed to Drake this whole time.
Oh, wow.
But what does that mean?
Right.
Exactly.
Like.
Okay.
In what capacity?
Exactly. Yeah. Because if that is the case,
yeah.
Drake has to be the richest person in the world. Do you understand, like, what Bad Bunny's tour did this past?
What kind of money is he getting on the
bro? Bro. But it makes sense because Drake been putting up all these astronomical $450,000, $550,000 bets on fucking
nothing.
College games.
Yeah.
And Turks.
I wonder how. Because I wonder if this is one of those where...
Is it like a Jay Prince? Because Drake was never directly signed to Rap-A-Lot.
Right.
They took him to Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
So what if Drake just... ushered Bad Bunny into like Universal.
I need to see who his publishing or like management company is.
Let's see.
Because this is the Wale situation. Because remember, Wale was managed by Roc Nation, mm-hmm. but he was signed to Interscope.
Wait, what? I'm sorry, something happened. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got confused.
Okay.
Let's see. Bad Bunny. Who is Bad Bunny signed to?
Yeah, it's going to have the label, but there could be a publishing company and a management company. Because like I said, Wale was managed by Roc Nation, but he was signed to Interscope.
Benito Antonio Martinez Ocaso, known professionally as...
The boy said his government name.
That's what it said. Bad Bunny is a Puerto Rican rapper and singer known as the King of Latin Trap. He is...
Why are you reading?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Tell this, man.
Yeah, I thought it was...
You actually don't know who Bad Bunny is.
Bad Bunny is the first non-English language act to be crowned Spotify's most streamed artist of the year. Uh-huh. It was an all-time record for the biggest streaming year of any artist in Spotify history, generating over 18.5 billion streams.
You're not giving me any information.
I know. Years active, works, awards, genre, instrumentals, labels. Hear the Music.
Okay.
And RIMAS, RIMAS Entertainment, commonly known as RIMAS, is a Puerto Rican independent record label in San Juan, Puerto Rico, with offices in Miami, Florida. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know. Who distributes his music is the most important thing.
It might not be readily available.
It's got to be. Because it'll say, like...
You don't get the good liner notes no more. All right, you're going to find it, I guess.
Pretty sure I spelled that wrong. Okay. At the same time, Bad Bunny works with the Orchard, a subsidiary of Sony Music Entertainment that distributes his music. And if I'm not mistaken, Sony distributes OVO.
Maybe.
I think he probably helped him with his distribution deal.
Yeah, he might be getting. He might have like helped him get to that point.
Maybe. Yeah, but overall,
see, I'm saying we don't know the contract.
Right.
Like of what he's going on, all the people involved in the contract.
I think it's more of a Jay Prince situation, yeah, versus like a Dame Dash situation.
Yeah,
because there's no. I mean, Drake was on one of his earlier features or whatever.
Yeah,
I remember that was going crazy at House Bar. Excuse me, back in the day. But since then, I mean, just her loss, I guess, right? Oh, not her loss, but, well, he did mention Bad Bunny on her loss. He did say Bad Bunny numbers, it's a robbery, $500 million just for Aubrey.
Yeah. The layers.
Between the line. Deeper, yeah. Darker criminal lean.
Man, but, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, I'll tell you that.
I wouldn't be either. Yeah. But, yeah, all that shit's crazy to me, for sure. Yo, okay, look, while we're still on rap, right quick, I want to get your opinion on this. What is the difference to you between rap and lyricism? Like, lyricism.
Through rap and lyricism?
Yeah. Or rap and hip-hop. I can't think of the other one that I'm thinking about. But sometimes sometimes people would consider, like, Rakim one way versus, yeah, how they see Lil Yachty.
Sure.
How would you... So I need a better context of the question I'm asking you, I know. Now, I'm asking you to give me better context of the question. But if you had to say, I know skill and all that is different.
Yeah.
But what is different in per se that Rakim does that Yachty doesn't do? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Okay. Sorry.
It's okay. Like Rakim would be considered hip hop, where Yachty would be considered rap.
Well, look, hip hop is a genre, bro.
Okay.
Rap is the technique.
Mm.
I mean, rap is rhythm and poetry. That's what it stands for, right?
Mm-hmm.
But hip-hop is the overarching.
Yeah, it's all the elements.
Hip-hop started, yeah, out in the park. Rapping is what you do, right?
Yeah.
The difference between Rakim and Yachty is that Rakim raps. Yachty does it. I don't... If you want to go those two...
This is strange, and I'm kind of scared.
What?
Nothing. It's...
Okay. Oh, you got something else going on.
This,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, Rakim raps, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yachty does not rap.
I'm okay.
Just going to get that out the way.
Okay.
Yachty is not a rapper.
Right.
Let's get that out the way.
What is he?
He's a mood maker who rhymes.
A mood maker.
Sometimes. His flow is literally one of the worst of all time. Him and G Herbo have to be bottom two.
Okay. All right. Well, okay.
If we're
no, I understand. G Herbo's not bottom two. There's definitely worse rapping than G Herbo.
I'm talking about flow wise.
Oh, flow wise. He was on beat on that Bay Bay freestyle. He was on beat.
Okay.
After watching it again, like with adult ears,
yeah,
I was like, it's a different pocket.
Yeah. Either way, but Yachty's one of the worst. I'll just say that.
Right. Okay.
As far as
that's fair.
And I don't dislike Yachty by any means, but I'm saying if we're talking about this type of thing, right? He doesn't rap like he's not sitting here literally analyzing a beat, finding where he wants to go with it.
I mean, what he does is still technical, though.
Maybe. But, like, we're not talking about Rakim level technical.
Oh, no, no,
because you're talking about, you told me what's the difference between Rakim and Yachty.
Right.
We saw it on the Cole record. I mean, with Cole, bro. Cole literally planned that shit out.
Yeah.
Yachty did.
There was a whole rhyme and reason to his verse.
Yeah, so Yachty probably got some rhymes in there. Oh, I play chestnut checkers because I ain't going over.
Right.
Like, it wasn't.
He had bars.
Sure, Chris.
He did.
But that's what I'm saying. So hip-hop is the genre. Rap is, like, the technical part of it, like, what we're doing. But, like, I will also say, like, if you're a, hit the word purist or whatever, right? But like, even back then, you had the fun artist, bruh. Like, cause hip hop was. What are you doing? You're not here right now.
I'm here. You hate the word purist. But it's just this. These messages are weird because I don't know what's going on, but I'm involved in them and I shouldn't be.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyways, purist.
But what I'm saying is like even back in the originations of hip hop.
Yeah.
You know, it was a DJ and some artists, right? Mm-hmm. Rhyming. Mm-hmm. And then mixed with some art like graffiti and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they were doing it for like block parties and street parties, house parties, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like the origination of all this stuff is for fun. Like,
right.
An expression. Messaging, fun and expression.
Yeah.
Right. But even when like hip hop really came to the forefront, like especially in New York in those times. Even when the Eric P. and Rakim days, you had fun artists.
Yeah, Humpty and all that shit. Marquee. Yeah,
you were doing the more fun records. They'd be like, "Oh, that's not rap."
Will Smith.
You know, they all went through it. There was always somebody there that was like, "This is not rap music."
Right.
I mean, I remember when there was discourse around N.W.A. because of the subject matter, right?
Yeah.
Like, but you always had those people though.
Yeah.
That made the fun party records. I mean, Kid and Play.
Ain't gonna hurt nobody.
Like, but you're not sitting here like Kid and Play is the best rappers I've ever heard. Like,
no.
But they're fun. Like, I'm sure at that time you're jamming them at parties.
Yeah, of course, because that's what it's for.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. So that's just this era's version of that.
You know.
But that's why.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
That's why hip hop is so tight, though, to me, is because it is so versatile.
So many colors.
Yeah, and then, like, people want to talk about all these things about it, but, like, it's tight because it is, like,
so many things.
There's so many things. It's, like, it could get deep, especially now that it's aged a little bit.
Yeah.
Like 40 years, right?
50.
I'm sorry, 50 years. I mean, that's just, like, you know, that's barely going through middle age, right?
Right.
Like, so, like, it's the youngest genre, like, pretty much.
It is, yeah.
So,
I mean, outside of, like, all these subgenres.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, as far as, like, the main core, yeah. Like, it's one of the newest ones. Like, so, like, it's, like, we're just now, you know, and it pretty much.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
And rap music pretty much transforms every 10 years, right?
Right.
So that means it's transformed 5 times. Just think about that. It's only had 5 like real transformations. Like,
yeah.
As far cuz like Drake's been out for longer than 10 years.
Yes. 13 if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, so like from here like from then to now, Drake's changed, right?
Right. Subject changed. Obviously technology.
How music is made?
Yeah, technology.
How music is consumed is changed just in that period, right?
Yeah, 50 years, yeah. So yeah, so that really that is okay.
Because all that is what goes into it is how it's. If I grew up having to tape deck everything, I'm going to be more technical.
I want to sit.
Yeah.
I want to have a 50-year-old person who listens to rap to come do the podcast.
Sure.
Because I want it from consent. Well, maybe not 50, right? Because they weren't listening to rap at like one.
Yeah.
So 40.
But I'll guarantee those people in that 42, age
43.
Grew up on that shit still.
Right.
Like it was available.
Yeah, I mean, what's this? But I just want to get, I want to see how they feel today versus, because you really can't, yes, the way that it started was one way, uh-huh. and it felt one way, right? But to live and witness and see the progression of it to what yeah. it is today, mm-hmm. I understand purists,
sure.
but how can you discredit it when we've never seen it before? It'd be different if we were talking about rock and roll or opera or some shit. Like, we know opera is this. It's not going to be anything other than that, right? But hip-hop being, like you said, the youngest genre,
yeah,
a young man's game has been, I say, in the last 5 years, well, maybe 15 years, people are saying.
Even if you want to get more even more granular with it, like, just think about, hip hop has a regionality to it too, as well. Like,
yeah.
So, New York sounds different from West Coast to yeah. South. Like, that was all part of it.
Yeah.
Like, yes, there's differences between jazz musicians everywhere.
Right.
But jazz was still jazz.
Yeah.
Hip hop was different.
Yeah.
Literally, every state line you crossed, there was different versions and variations.
Yeah.
Like, what we were doing down here cooking up was different than what they were cooking up on.
That, okay, we stumbled upon a great conversation.
Sure.
I hate that we are kind of, in a sense, boxed into a regional thing. Because you got to think about it. I'm the perfect example. Growing up, I'm going to get shitted on for this. I will make this the clip. But growing up, I 95% hated Texas music.
Yeah.
I hated
okay.
the quality. Mm-hmm. I hated
sure.
a lot about it, okay. right? So as I grew older, though, mm-hmm. I appreciated what was happening.
Sure.
Like, main appreciation for Big Tuck, obviously because he's from the area. Versus what was going on in Houston, right? So Dallas didn't really have a quote-unquote sound. And I don't know if my subconscious was kicking at me back then, was like, yo, you don't like this music anyways, so why try to sound like what you don't like? Like, make what you like.
Right.
But like,
always.
But then the counter to that would be when New York artists started ASAP Ferg and rapping on quote unquote Southern beats, mm-hmm. how, you know, the old heads in New York were like, this ain't New York because you're not rapping over boom bap. Where I personally, I like Chopping Soul and I like that boom bap feel. I like, Reasonable Doubt. I like Preem. I like Alchemist. I like, you know, Dilla. I like all this other shit. To my personal style, like, you know what I'm saying? Kanye, obviously. So it's like an artist like Tizo being from Houston, mm-hmm. there, even Travis, as far away from Houston as we thought Travis was, Tizo was like 50 million billion miles yeah. away from yeah. that, but he's from Houston.
Yeah.
And I know I can't say that I know because I don't know him. But I feel like he appreciates his culture, where he came from, mm-hmm. but he might not be riding with Swings. You know what I'm saying?
You don't have to
be. He might not be at Johnny Dang's. You know what I'm saying? So does that make him, every side, every person from that state has their own vision for how yeah. to represent it. So did you ever feel like you, when we were making music, Did you ever feel like us not having a regional thing?
No. So what I meant by regionality, I said when I was talking about Inception, like
right
when it began, that was like a very big thing. Everything sounded very distinct. Like if you were like, this is New York rap, this is California rap, this is Southern rap,
Midwest, all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody had like a distinct sound, but now that we're 50 years in, we've been in the game longer than we haven't.
Yeah.
So we're ingrained, right?
Right.
And now everything is blending together.
Right.
That is what's happening.
Right.
Of course, there is people that still throw in some of their local culture because that's just part of it, especially if you're from California.
I got a question.
What?
Did Big Crit making Southern music predominantly standing on that shit hurt his career? Because if he would have, if he not would have, I guess, because he's still capable of doing it, but if he would have took a more cold route as far as opening his sonics to things.
See, here's the tough thing with that question in general. Well, I'll answer your first one first, because you asked me if I felt like
him making predominantly Southern music.
No, the first question you asked me a minute ago was like, did I ever feel like... The answer is no. Mm-hmm. I never, not once was I like, I have to make something that sounds like Dallas or Texas. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make the stuff I liked.
Right.
Because like I said, at that point, we already got a skin in the game. I have all this previous research material that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it all sounds way like, I pick what I like. Like I like smooth shit. Like, right. It's like that's always been me.
Right.
With some with some bounce to it. Like that's, I never was a big like, let's fucking go crazy in here. Like, but that's just me. So I just make a shit I like.
Yeah.
On stuff that on beats I like, style I like, you know. I never felt like that. But then as far as that big crit question, the crit question's hard. Because honestly, like even when I first heard him, like Big Crit could rap,
right?
And I love Big Crit.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with Crit, though, I will say this: even from Inception, he didn't give me the same feeling. If when I first heard Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, any of these people, right? Mm-hmm.
Even him being from Mississippi,
yeah.
There was no other artist.
None.
But David Banner.
Yes.
David Banner's first single, Lil Flip, Chop the Pimp C.
Yeah.
That was, I was in fifth grade.
Yeah.
I knew then that was a fucking record.
Yes.
It had all the elements. It was reminiscent of 3-6, but it was a dude from Mississippi. It's South, so we accepted it in the South. It was raw. You got Houston. You got, and then.
And how hard that shit hit. Boom. You can hear it across the damn street.
Boom. Like, to me.
I'm a pimp.
Even Crit doing his first big single, which was the country shit, right?
Yeah.
And then Luda and Bun B did the remix, or were they on the original?
Yeah, the remix.
Okay. Even that, it just didn't, what you said, it didn't find its footing because Kendrick and Cole and Drake.
But also.
And Sean.
With the Big Crit, he's talked about this before in his records, right? Like, he was always going to just make the music he wanted to make.
Right.
He makes his own beats.
Right.
He mixes himself.
Yes. I said on Russian Roulette.
That's all him, right?
Yeah.
And he picks some fire samples.
He does.
And like I said, Crit can rap.
Yeah.
And with people like that, that are like I'm going to stick to like my niche, right? I'm going to produce my record, boom, 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 boom. Like, so he's probably not in the studio with a lot of people, like, you know, like,
oh, right, Swimmers from Mississippi too.
Like a sharing a vision, right? Mm-hmm. Like
Soulja Boy.
You know, like how Cole did the Dreamville stuff, brought all the people to make a collective thing. So Crit's not doing this type of things, right? Crit is just being Crit,
right?
I mean, and then he got his deal,
right? Def Jam.
And he, you know, he dropped a very like very anticipated album. Let's mm-hmm. like we were happy, like happy to see it. Then he did the Money on the Floor with 8-Ball MJG. I mean, it didn't do like crazy numbers, but that is, I knew from jump he wasn't going to be like some multi mega artist.
If you could, now I don't want to say give him advice, because I mean, who are we?
I can't give him any right. advice.
But I'll say this then. Let me rephrase what I'm going to say. I would love to see Crit find somebody in fucking Mobile, Alabama. Rather a male or a female, rather rapper or singer.
Yeah.
And be behind the scenes and show them the way. Because I feel like Crit's potential to be a producer, not just beat maker, but actually curate a sound mm-hmm. for an artist would be impeccable.
Yeah, that I mean, he has enough skin in the game to definitely do that.
Yeah, I feel like he could bring someone, usher someone into this game.
Yeah,
and
Little Brother's doing the same shit.
Oh, who with who?
They manage a couple of North Carolina artists, but they Big Pooh does Loot, who signed to J. Cole, was mm-hmm. part of his Dreamville thing. Like, I mean, they're basically like gate. Anybody from North Carolina, though, like Rap City, all them people,
mm-hmm.
like are getting put on game from Little Brother.
That's dope.
Because Little Brother is a great example of like potential that
right.
didn't go past
what
it could. Because besides the behind the scenes stuff, like mm-hmm. they had a self made album called The Listening, right? That mm-hmm. Ninth Wonder, Fonte, Big Pooh. Classic album, right? Mm-hmm. Anybody that's listened to it will be like, this shit is fire. They mm-hmm. get signed to Atlantic mm-hmm. and they do they set up like this big album, The Minstrel Show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have like the shit, the booklet inside's like fake TV guys. They have they made like fake commercials for it. Like, they went on, the album obviously didn't do like crazy good.
Right.
So then they get dropped and then they're doing independent stuff. And then The Minstrel Show is a fucking phenomenal album.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's great. But like that, like when you, and I mean, we listened to the newest album when we went to Houston that one time together, when I went to go drop off those computers.
Mm-hmm.
We like, they make good shit. Like, they're both great rappers, but like,
I do remember.
But they knew at that point, like, who their core fan base was.
Right.
And they make music for themselves and them. Right. Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Not everybody is going to be J. Cole, Drake, Kendrick, and all these people.
Right.
So I don't think, and like those careers are not a failure. They make a living off this shit.
Yeah.
They, trust me, they make good money.
I agree.
They're not making mega millions.
Right.
But they got their mortgage paid.
Right.
Food in their shit.
Right.
They doing festivals.
And that allowed them to hustle in other avenues.
They're flying around the country still doing shit, right? So they have been the route of, hey, I was on a major label and I failed.
Yeah.
And this is how I did so.
Yeah, because the major label shit.
And then now that line is skewed.
Yeah.
And they can help you navigate that. Because now with these, like, major labels now are just marketing machines now.
It's not music.
I don't need you to press 100,000 CDs for me anymore.
Right.
So, you know, all these artists have seen the birth and death of these type of things.
Mm-hmm.
So like they can literally speak on it. Crit's a great one. Cause he came in right on the blog era.
Yeah.
Into the blog era.
No,
I'm saying he came in the blog era to the end of the blog era. Yeah, like he's been in that. So I think maybe one day he will. And like, but Crit's still making music. He's doing his own thing. And he has a very loyal fan base.
Mm-hmm.
So he will always eat. I'll tell you that. But,
I just
But was I was never surprised by it.
Yeah. Crib was the one of the examples because I knew he was one of your favorites. And I feel like, again, like, see, Memphis's sound, like Memphis in particular, like they can do Memphis music for the rest of Memphis.
Yeah.
Like until Kingdom Come, because that sound that 3-6 Mafia laid down for Memphis will forever, it'll forever slap. So like, you use DJ Paul Juicy J snare in your record with a steady rhythm of the hi-hat and some kicks, and you put a fucking soul sample, you fuck it up a little bit, you're going to eat. Like, you're going to eat.
You go eat.
You go eat. Because Memphis sound, in particular, is one of the greatest sounds ever produced from in hip-hop. Like, they talk about it, but I feel like they talk about it as like a participation. Like, it ain't, everyone has used that sound in some capacity, like everyone. And I don't know if I can get behind that. But while Dalton mixes his drink, you know what I'm saying? You're checking the time and mixing the drink, though. Don't act like you just over there doing one thing. Where we at? 109. I want to, we can end on this because I have to pee and I'm like hungry and I want to go to sleep. So I'm not talking about this to talk about what's been being talked about on social media as far as Jada and Will go.
Okay.
All right. Years ago, when we were in the apartment, I fiercely remember Will Smith. I don't know what interview. I don't know how I heard it. I don't know where I heard it. But I remember Will saying that he told Jada, "It is not my job to make you happy. You go find whatever makes you happy. And be happy." Because in his book.
Yeah.
That I read. I listened to the book. I did not read it, but I listened to it. Okay. Audible. Shout out to Audible. Give us a deal. He threw Jada this wild ass party in out the country somewhere.
For her birthday, right?
Yeah. Had Mary J. Blige there to sing. All this shit. And Jada, like, I guess pulled Will to the side. I hope she pulled it to the side. It was like, "You didn't do this for me. You did this for you. Because if you would have you known what I wanted to do, we would have been back at the crib," type shit. You know what I'm saying? That was like, and that's when Will realized, oh shit, like, I'm in service without asking, or you asking me for the service mode. It's not because I want to do it. It's because I know I have to do it. You know what I mean? Like that. There's a very subtle difference in the two. Like, I got to brush my teeth. I don't always want to get up and brush my teeth. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe that's a bad example. Brush your teeth. But you know what I mean? Like, so, and seeing all this discourse about Jada regurgitating Tupac stories and well, her and Will not being together and all this stuff,
yeah,
right?
Well, first off, she is on a book tour. Yes. So that's why she's back in the press. Let's just get that out the way now. But yeah.
Everything that's coming back up, I had to remind myself that regardless if the internet or my coworkers or my friends or anybody chooses to see it, Will and Jada, in my opinion, just based off of everything that I've seen, they are in a space that any couple, friend group, relationship would hope to get to. Because to me, for your husband of X amount of years, kids, all this money, all this fame, all these rumors, everything, for someone as big as Will, I'm sorry, I keep hearing this. As big as Will Smith is with all the movies and all the music, that ego that he possesses to come outside of himself and say, I love you enough to know that I can't make you happy. I still would hope to be with you one day, but if your happiness is determined on us not being together or separated for the time being, then go do that. And then have his wife start a show on Facebook that was popular. They don't do Facebook TV anymore, but when they were, to do it,
Red Table Talk
at the height of Facebook TV, because it was like one of the only shows on there.
Yeah.
And she's talking about all this, and now the book tour, and we have not heard a peep from Will. That shows a different type of acceptance and love and peace that, you know, me personally, I don't think I could ever reach that level of maturity. Like, if a woman did what Jada was doing to me today, like 2023, making what I make at the job and all that shit, Twitter gonna hear from me. I'm gonna be on a podcast ranting. Y'all gonna hear from me every day. Like, it's just, and I don't know that Will's not talking to his personal friends or whatever, but he ain't take this shit to social media where everybody else take this shit, and that's commendable.
Smart.
And Jada is on the book tour, like you said, and this is her life.
Okay. I said she's on a book tour because that's why we're seeing her so much. Mm-hmm. But for me there is a line.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
Because, and I've called her this before on mm-hmm. Twitter. I said, she is the queen of nasty work. Because, mm. like, there. Yes, this is your memoir, your mm-hmm. book. Okay. So these things are written in the book. Fine. Mm-hmm. Right? But there are some questionable things she does and, mm-hmm. like, says.
Mm-hmm.
That now look, I'm not personally invested in these people's relationship.
Right, of course.
I don't care that deeply. But as a human being, I'm like, that's a little.
Yeah.
Because look, let Tupac rest.
Facts.
Because the reason I say that is because you're bringing him up now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, definitely even more so.
Mm-hmm.
I know y'all were very good friends.
Right.
Y'all, they basically grew up together.
Right.
However, he professed his love to you, and you did not reciprocate back in the day.
Right. That has also been stated.
Yeah, that is factual information.
Right.
That is who he wanted, and she said no.
Right.
Right? Hindsight's always 20/20.
Of course.
Maybe that was your soulmate.
Maybe.
He's not here anymore.
That's a fact.
And he tried, but at the point in time in your life, you were not ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever love he was offering.
Mm-hmm.
Or you didn't feel the same way at that time. You know, maybe time and age has been, man, maybe I did love him.
Right.
Because now that you've experienced, you know, marriage and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But I just think that's like, if as a man, mm-hmm. like as a husband, like if my wife, like while I'm alive,
mm-hmm.
brings up like basically saying this man, another man, it was my soulmate.
Yeah.
That would make me feel some type of way.
Right.
However, I'm not going to abandon my wife.
Right.
The them being separated by 2017 thing was very random to me.
Does she?
Yeah, because they go to every event together.
Yeah, to keep up appearances.
Sure, but like,
she even boycotted the Oscars because he wasn't nominated.
Yeah, so like, and then, you know, like, the whole slap thing, and she was like, I was shocked he called me his wife.
Yeah.
Like, what?
In the heat of the moment like
that? No, but yeah. You're still married.
Yeah.
Like.
He hasn't called her wife in some time.
But look, so it's just stuff like that. Like
I agree too.
Like the Tupac thing definitely is what that really bothered me more than anything. Because like, as far as your memoir goes, I know it's important. Let's talk about y'all growing up together then.
Right.
Like, let's talk about that. But I just feel like that she throws him around so much.
I feel like with the Keefe D being arrested, mm-hmm. and then Twitter joking about Diddy getting arrested because Keefe D said that, you know, all that, whatever, allegedly. It makes sense for her to talk about Tupac because it's already a Tupac, Biggie buzzwords for black people to, or the culture, I'll say, to infinity. Anytime.
Now, I'm not saying she can't honor the man.
Right.
But I'm saying in the way she does it.
Yeah.
It's like really, it's like on that line that
I can see that.
Because it's always about like, that. It's always like.
Right there on the end, like man, if this nigga was alive.
Like, it would be a rap.
Yeah, like, would Willow and Jaden be here type shit? Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Those type of things,
that,
yeah.
It's that, like, the weird stuff like that, but, you know. I'm great. She has a book out. I'm glad. Like I said, I'm not mad and invested.
I might listen to it if she's reading the Audible.
And then, Will Smart, I mean, anything he says at this point would just be.
Yeah, set the world
taken and twisted. I mean. He just needs to enjoy his life now. I mean, he's been blackballed from Hollywood right now because of the Chris Rock slap. His relationship is now in front of the whole world with his book. So, just live your life, bro. Like,
I think
kids haven't said anything smartly.
They read the book. He had to read the book before.
I'm sure.
You know what I'm saying? So, I know he knows what to prepare for and all those other things. But as a man, though, again, reading Will's book, you know, it's. I've never read an autobiography. Well, I read the Miles Davis joint because you told me to.
In the Andre Open. Agassi.
But no, Will's.
Andre Agassi. You didn't read. You didn't
do the Miles. I did.
Oh, you did Miles Davis too?
Yeah.
And then Andre Agassi.
Okay. Yeah. Will, I guess because I have more, you know, I didn't watch tennis and I really wasn't into jazz. But I saw Will and all the movies.
You really peeked into the curtain, yeah.
So it's like, wow. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he, at one point in time, before The Rock, and I want, before Tom, after Tom Cruise, I think, I want to say, Will was the biggest, the most paid, highest paid actor in the world. Like, he was black. There hasn't been another black man up there since Will. Blockbuster movies, like, we saw what Ego did to our favorite rappers. We saw what a little bit of money would do to these athletes. How they, you know, get in trouble and shit, right? But for Will to maintain that rock, that core that he has, like, to navigate this, being like the highest of profiles, like they wanted this nigga to play Obama. And he was damn near Obama's age. It's like, what sense does that make? We gonna do like the last year? Like what? But I gotta commend him on that. But I joked on Twitter about Jada talking running the lips. But again, that thing that Will said, like, you have to make yourself happy because I can't do it. For you. Rang off, and I was like, everything Jed is doing, I mean, to have an opinion on it is my choice. And my opinion is to be like, that's how she's venting or getting that off or whatever the case may be. Some people go fuck a whole bunch of people. Some people write memoirs and do podcasts and talk shows and all that shit. And that's what they do. So that's my opinion on it. I just wanted to get that off because I think that's very important for relationships in general. If someone you are with is not happy and you know you're doing everything in your power to make them happy, at that point, a conversation should come up and be like, hey, you're here, I'm there, we can't do this. You fix you, and if you fix you and I'm still the person you want to be with, then I'm going to be here. But until then, you know, let's separate. That's very mature. And I don't think a lot of people would do that. I think a lot of people would just be in a relationship until it turned toxic or cheat or leave or whatever. But anyways.
Or it gets ugly.
Yeah. Super ugly. Super duper. Anyways. I don't know where the. I really got to pee bad. Like, it's hurting. But there was one thing. There was something I wrote in my notes like a while ago that I wanted to ask, but we never got to it. And this could be it for real. I don't know if y'all can see it like that. I'm squeezing my legs together. Yep, I can't think of it. I can't find it because the pee talk is just
okay. Yep. Well, we going so we'll have an episode next week. Before, like, we're going on a trip, so
in our favorite rocket ship, Spirit Airlines.
Well, American First.
Oh, okay. We flying Spirit back, so pray for us.
Yeah, we'll be all right. Be
allegedly, they said Spirit is actually the airline with the least incidences. I gotta go, bro.
All right. Well, I'll close this out while he goes to drain it. Yeah, this has been Step Brothers episode 237. And we'll see y'all next week. All right. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.